reminds us of the cross. And Jesus told us to take communion often because he knew we'd be forgetful and distracted. We like to think that we live in an area of the world that is busier and more important than pretty much anywhere else. And so we get busy and distracted doing a lot of things. In the course of a week, we can worry about X, we can panic about Y, we can do all these kind of things, and we forget. We lose our grounding. And Jesus told his followers, come back to the cross. And we do that through communion. You see, it's at the cross where God's power, his love, his justice, his mercy, all of that converges. But you know, at the cross, God did far more than just secure our entrance to heaven. He did a bunch more. But if we're so busy and distracted, we miss out on that. Because of the cross, our past, our present, and our future have been forever changed for the better. Open your Bibles to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 5, if you have a written Bible with you, that's great. If not, just use your phone, turn on the app. Romans chapter 5, you need to see this because God tells us some great stuff about what he did at the cross. Romans is the sixth book in the New Testament. It is a letter to the churches that were gathering in Rome, but it's really kind of a condensed version of all you need to know about theology. Romans starts out like this, chapter 1, all of us are hopelessly separated from God, but the gospel is great. And after reading that chapter, most of us would respond, yeah, but I'm not that bad, I'm not that bad off. God spends chapters 2 and 3 saying, oh yes, you are. The righteous person, the religious person, we're all bad off. All of us fall short of God's perfection. Chapter 4, he introduces the idea of being justified by faith, meaning declared righteous, declared perfect, declared good enough to be right with God because of what Jesus has done on the cross. And so we're going to pick up right after that, the beginning of chapter 5. You see, at the cross, because of the cross, your past, your present, and your future are sorted out. Because of the cross, you can thrive even in the midst of suffering. And because of the cross, you have proof of God's love. So let's start by looking at how our timeline, our personal history, is secure. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Because of the cross, our past, present, and future are sorted out. First of all, we have peace with God. This goes back to the past, to what was accomplished on the cross. See, this is humanity's greatest need, to be made right with God. But do you know when God says, hey, at the cross I made peace with you, he's also indirectly saying, we weren't at peace before this. We were not on the same page. We were not on the same team. You see, the good news of the gospel starts out with the bad news of our sin, which separates us from God. The gospel would not be the great news that it is if there wasn't something bad that it was rescuing us from. See, if we weren't in such bad shape, the gospel would just be routine news, ordinary news. But the gospel is good news that is to be proclaimed. It's almost like the town crier saying, oye, oye, I have something you all need to hear. And when we talk about the gospel, that is what we have. It is something that everyone needs to hear. It is something so fantastic that it's hard to wrap our minds around it. And the reason it's so great is because we're so bad off. We are not at peace with God. Each of us as human beings wants to do our own thing. Say, God, I want to live my life my own way. God, I know you say certain things in the Bible, but I want to decide what's right and wrong for myself. We're not at peace with God. And our greatest need as human beings is to be at peace with the one who made us, who knows us and loves us, who knows what's best for us. But our natural inclination is to say, no thanks, God. I'll handle life on my own. We're bad off apart from God. But in the gospel, God restores us to a right relationship with him. We are at peace with God. You know, all that's in Romans chapter 5 gets expanded on in Romans chapter 8. So I'm going to flip over there for a few things. In Romans chapter 8, verse 1, it says this, there is therefore, you could insert the words, because of the cross. There is therefore, because of the cross, now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. This is huge. Because of the cross, our past can never catch up with us and drag us down. Because of the cross, our past is taken care of. Jesus has paid the penalty that we owe for all of our sin. Yet so many of us get dragged down by guilt about this was my past, this is what I've done, oh, this is so bad, I have no hope. But that is a lie. Because what God did at the cross is greater than any sin we could commit. And he said that at the cross, he has done everything that needed to be done so that we could have peace with him. We're forgiven. There's no condemnation because of the cross. See, you never need to fear God's judgment. Once you go to the cross and say, Lord Jesus, be merciful to me, I need a savior, past is taken care of. But we often bring the past up ourselves to drag ourselves down. Satan loves to remind us of how we've messed up. But whenever he reminds us of our past, just remind him of his future. Your past is sorted out at the cross. It then goes on in verse 2, and it says this. It says, through him, Jesus, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. The picture is you stepping in and walking into this incredible room in a royal palace, surrounded by treasure that's just unbelievable. And the king says, it's all yours. We have this grace. We stand in grace. Grace is God's supernatural, awesome power benefiting us. We have it today, right here, right now. We are in a favorable place with God. All that belongs to Jesus, he shares with us. Because of the cross, we are in a great place. It's a standing that we have with God that we never would have had before the cross. We have this standing with the God of the universe that we can approach him at any time, no matter what we're going through. And he is there, willing and able to help us. He says, I have everything you need. You have this standing with me. You have a favorable standing. I will give you my grace. That's a fact. And remember the word fact, because we're going to come back to it. It's very important. So our past is taken care of. We're at peace with God. We have this standing with him in grace because of the cross. But then verse 2 continues on, and it says this, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We rejoice in hope of the glory of God because our future is secure. You see, Jesus, when he died on the cross, paid that penalty for our sin. But then he rose again. He defeated death. He will never die again. And because Jesus is alive and is alive forevermore, he is guaranteeing our future. We have hope of the glory of God. It is not a hope in the sense of, yeah, I hope it works out. It's a confidence. Our Lord has crushed death. He did it 3 days after the crucifixion. And all who come to him, he invites and says, you can share in my life. We have the hope of glory in Christ. In Romans chapter 8, it amplifies this. Well-known verse, verse 28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. Now what he does in verse 29 and 30 is he expands on that phrase, for those who are called according to his purpose. He says this in verse 29, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. God's got the whole timeline taken care of. Our past, our present, and our future are all sorted out. Why? Because of the cross and what Jesus accomplished. Right there, what more could we ask for? We have complete security in our God. That is a great help for us because he invites us in this standing of grace. We're at peace with him, our future secure, and so as much as us is in the here and now, will you take advantage of the grace that I offer you, the supernatural enabling to do the things that you thought you were incapable of? It's a supernatural enabling to do the things that you thought, there's no way I could ever do this. It's a supernatural enabling to help us overcome suffering in life. God wants us to bring all of our anxiety, our worry, and our fear to him. He said, I've got you covered. Past is taken care of. Future, I've got it. And in the present, you have a good standing with me. I'm here for you. I've got you. You will have problems bigger than you, but I am bigger than those problems, and I've got you. And this is all because of the cross. Our timeline is sorted out. And I love the way the Bible is written. The Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote the book of Romans. It's like he says, this is great news. This is fantastic. And then several times in this chapter in Romans, you'll also hear him say, but there's more. And I'm not done yet. And that's the spirit that this chapter is written in. Verse 3 of chapter 5 picks up like this. More than that, I mean, as if there is more we could ask for than to have past, present, and future sorted out. But more than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. You know, we love stories that end well. Happy endings are just great. You know, it feels kind of soul-destroying if you go and watch a movie and the ending is not what you expected or it's bad. We like things to tie up all nice and neatly. And the fact is, because we have a hope of glory, we can be assured that our story will tie up nice and neatly. But here's the thing. If you went to a movie, or if you read a book and the main characters had no problems and life was hunky-dory all the way through, it'd be boring. I guarantee you, it would not be a blockbuster movie. In kind of a similar way, God allows suffering into our lives. Suffering happens. Christianity addresses it head on. See, a life of total ease would make us boring and flabby. God allows suffering to shape us and to mold us. And I think all of us can probably look back at some of the painful things that have happened to us. We can say, yep, you know, that really wasn't fun. But I see how God deepened me through it. It's like going to the gym. You work out, you say, oh man, that just wasn't fun, but we're glad we did it. You look back and you see the good of suffering, but while you're going through suffering, it's hard to see the good. That's why we need to be oriented towards the cross. The cross is our true north. Because if our orientation is all based on the bad stuff that we're enduring, then we're going to be hopeless. But it's so important that we look up at the cross and say, wait a minute, my past was sorted. My future is squared away. And I'm in this standing with God. And he can give me what I need to go through this suffering. See, when we look at the cross, we see that our God has entered into our suffering. Our God could have stayed in perfect heaven, not dealt with any of the junk that we bring to the table. But instead, he chose to step into our world and take on suffering that he didn't have to. He suffered for us. See, the cross shows us that suffering is part of God's story too. Our stories are all going to have suffering, each and every one of us. Different kinds of suffering, different degrees. We should never compare with one another. But Jesus has entered into our suffering, and he's ultimately died for us. Our story ends well because of the cross. Because of the cross, we're united with Jesus. He suffered for us, but we know that we will be united with him to live forevermore. Our future squared away. So in the meanwhile, when we can't understand him, when we don't know why what's happening to us is happening to us, we have to trust his heart and to trust the fact of his grace that we stand in. Because he is never going to put us through something that will destroy us apart from his grace. He will give us what we need. So as we go through suffering, which we all do, we have to get our bearings from the cross. And from the cross, in these verses, look at what we get. We rejoice in our sufferings. See, I would say that when we are truly grounded in our past, present, and future being sorted out, that gives us everything we need. We rejoice in our sufferings. The cross puts such a perspective on it that I can say, Lord, I can make it through anything that life throws at me because I know you're in charge and I get your grace. So why can we rejoice? Why can we thrive in suffering? It says that suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces character. Endurance, this kind of helps us to align our priorities. When we go through suffering and we have to work through it, it forces us to think about what really matters, what is really important. Suffering stops us from just kind of having a flabby, boring, everything is at ease. Suffering builds endurance to us. One look at me makes it very obvious that I am not a runner. But I do know that for runners, when you endure, you build up to a certain pace and a rate, and you can go for miles and miles and miles, and I'm very happy for you that you can do that. I run every day, and I run to the fridge in my house. But it builds endurance. The training is like suffering. It builds endurance in us. If life was just easy, we wouldn't be able to handle anything. It builds endurance. It builds character into us. We have to be honest, as much as suffering is not fun and we don't like it, it does shape us in some very good ways. We can all look back at things that may have been very hard at the time. We say, no, God, you really did know what you're doing. And then our hope in God increases as we see him at work. It's like, yeah, God, you've got this. This suffering is not going to overwhelm me because God will overwhelm that suffering. We stand in his grace. We have a hope that is undeniable. You see, Christianity acknowledges and faces suffering like no other worldview. Many other worldviews will try to say it's not reality or, oh, it should never happen. Christianity acknowledges it happens. But we also have a God who has stepped into our suffering, who himself has suffered, who knows what it's like to be us. But we also worship the King of the universe who gives us grace for anything. See, the world bases everything on your pursuit of happiness, and it comes up empty when you're not happy. One author said it this way: suffering is not an embarrassment to the Christian faith. It is the thread with which the name of Christ is stitched into our lives. Suffering is not an embarrassment to the Christian faith. It is the way in which the name of Christ is stitched into our lives. I love that these verses are devoted to suffering, because it'd be very easy to have a pep rally about the cross and all the great things, and the cross deserves all of that. But God knows what life is like for us here. In the final part of this section, we see that we have everything we need to trust God. Because of the cross, we have proof of God's love. Verse 6 goes like this: "For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we are still sinners, Christ died for us." What he's really saying here is, you know, it'd be kind of understandable if someone was really great and then you offered your life for them. But God is saying, you guys messed up. You're sinful. And I still love you. And the proof is found in the cross. We live in an age that is now considered the age of post-truth. You know, the word of the year in 2016 was post-truth. It's kind of an oxymoron if you think about it. But post-truth means this. Post-truth means that your opinion on a matter is influenced more by your feelings than by the facts. And I have one piece of advice for all of us. Don't be post-truthers. Post-truth is a dead end. Because if you live by your feelings, you have no hope. When you go through suffering and your feelings are the only thing swirling around you, you're toast. But when you have the fact of the cross, you have hope. Facts matter. God doesn't want us to live by our feelings. Now, we're not robots and automatrons. We do have feelings, but they shouldn't drive us. We should get driven by the truth of Scripture. And the fact is, our God has entered our suffering. Our God will give us everything we need to thrive even when we are going through suffering. Don't be a post-truther. The cross is a fact. There are days and times where you're going to wonder if God loves you, because life may not feel that great. And you're in trouble if you let your feelings sweep you away. Instead, we look to the cross and we say, wait a minute. This is not fun what I am enduring. This is hard. This is difficult. Yeah, and I'm angry and I'm sad. But when I look to the cross, I know that God loves me. The cross is a monument to God's love for us. Don't be a post-truther. Verse 9, "Since therefore we have been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God." Justification is what happened at the cross when we come to believe in him. Justification is one of those long Bible words. It's important we know what it means. Justification means that you are declared righteous before God. What happened at the cross is this. God stepped into our suffering. God stepped into our world. He came as a man, Jesus Christ. But unlike the rest of us, Jesus never sinned. He did not have to die. He did not have to suffer. He did not have to experience the curse. Yet he chose to die on the cross. Now, he didn't just die on the cross to be a hero. He chose to die on the cross to take the punishment for our sin, the judgment that each and every human being deserves. And what he did on the cross is he took the judgment that we deserved, and he died. But we know that's not the end of the story, because 3 days later, he rose again. But when he died, he took the penalty that every human being deserved. And here's the amazing thing. This is the great news of the gospel. All of us fall short of God's standard. But Jesus says, I died for you, and I'll make a trade with you. When you come to the cross saying, Lord, be merciful to me, I need a savior. I believe Jesus died for me and he rose again. Jesus takes from us all our sin, our junk, and our shame, and it gets subjected to God's wrath. And then it doesn't end there, because he then gives us his royal robes, perfect cleanness, perfect rightness before God. And so our standing in the heavenly court of law, if you will, is that we are righteous. We are perfect, not because of us, but because of the cross. Our salvation is secure. And that offer of salvation being made right before God is extended to everybody. And if you haven't taken that step, I'd encourage you to do that today, because then your past, your present, and your future are all sorted out. The passage goes on. And this passage, it started with reconciliation, being at peace with God. It's going to end with reconciliation. Verse 10, for if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Because Jesus is alive, because he lives forevermore, he ensures that justification is going to be followed through. In a sense, Jesus' death on the cross extends an invitation to heaven. His life means that Jesus will also be there holding the gate open for us. We'll see him. This is our hope, and it's a fact. This is what we live for. The passage starts and ends with reconciliation. That's the message of the cross. So today, in a few minutes, we're going to come to the altar, so to speak. We're going to do this for communion. And we do it together as a church family to remember all that Jesus has done at the cross. I'd encourage you, as we sing and in the moments of silence while the elements are served, that you reflect. Maybe you just need to spend time thanking God that he has done everything that needed to be done so that your timeline, your history, is sorted out. Maybe you need to stop and pause and cry out to him for help and hope in suffering. You know, the Bible says this in Hebrews chapter 4, for we don't have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then find confidence to draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Maybe today you need to say, Lord, I've been living like I don't have this standing in grace. Would you help me to see and believe the truth that you surround me with grace that is greater than my wildest imagination? Or maybe you just need to spend some time reflecting on the truth, the monument that the cross serves as to show us God's love. Maybe you're going through something where you're saying, it didn't feel like it. God is saying, don't get your bearings from your feelings. Don't be a post-truther. Live by the truth. Get your bearings from the cross. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you and I pray that you would give us clarity through the cross. Lord, would you give us joy knowing that everything is taken care of. You have stepped into time. You have stepped into our suffering. You have borne the penalty that we deserve, and you offer us life. Thank you that you give us more than enough for any suffering we may be enduring. Lord, would you help us to revel in the fact that we are surrounded by and enveloped in your grace. Lord, would you help us to see the truth and not live by our feelings. Lord, may the cross always be our true north because of all that you have done for us. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen.